In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Prayer to Christ the King. O Jesus Christ, I acknowledge Thee as universal King. All that has been made has been created for Thee. Exercise all Thy rights over me. I renew my baptismal vows, renouncing Satan, his pomps, and his works, and I promise to live as a good Christian. In particular, do I pledge myself to labor to the best of my ability for the triumph of the rights of God and of Thy Church. Divine Heart of Jesus, to Thee do I proffer my poor services, laboring that all hearts may acknowledge Thy sacred kingship, and that thus the reign of Thy peace be established throughout the whole universe. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. We are looking at Lesson 49 of My Catholic Faith, the Primacy of Peter. And in the illustration, we have our Lord handing the keys to the Kingdom of Heaven to Saint Peter. The caption says, "When our Lord said to Peter, 'And I will give thee the keys of the Kingdom of Heaven,' he clearly meant, 'I will give you supreme authority over my church. You shall be my representative.' The true test of loyalty to Christ is not only to believe in him and worship him, but to honor and obey the representatives he has chosen. Our Lord chose Saint Peter as his vicar. It is rebellion against Christ to say to him, 'I will worship you, but I will not recognize your representative.' This is what Christians do who deny the authority of the successor of Saint Peter. Did Christ give special power in his church to any one of the apostles? Christ gave special power in his church to Peter by making him the head of the apostles and the chief teacher and ruler of the entire church. When Simon, led by his brother Andrew, first met Christ, our Lord said to him, 'Thou art Simon, the son of John. Thou shalt be called Cephas.'" From St. John chapter 1, verse 42. Christ spoke in Aramaic, and the original Cephas, or Kepha, means stone or rock, which we interpret Peter. Our Lord must have some special purpose for having Simon's name changed, particularly as the word Kepha was never used as a proper name then. When at Caesarea Philippi, Peter made the memorable confession of faith in the name of the apostles, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Christ promised to make Peter the head of his church. St. Matthew chapter 16, verses 17 through 20. In reply, our Lord said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to thee, but my Father in heaven. And I say to thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Our Lord changed Simon's name to Peter, which means rock. He said that he would make Peter the rock on which his church should be founded. As the foundation of a building holds up, supports, and preserves the building, so Peter was to hold the same office for Christ's church. Our Lord promised to Peter the keys of the kingdom of heaven. In ancient as well as modern times, keys are a symbol of authority. He who lawfully carries the key to a building has the right himself of entering and admitting or excluding others. Our Lord said to all the apostles, "Receive the Holy Spirit, whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven them, and whose sins you shall retain, they are retained." St. John chapter 20, verse 23. But to Peter alone did our Lord address these words, "I will give thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven." Christ, after the resurrection, fulfilled his promise and appointed Peter head of the church. St. John 21, verses 15 through 17. On the lake of Gennesareth, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, dost thou love me more than these do?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, dost thou love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He said to him, feed my lambs. A third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, dost thou love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him for the third time, Dost thou love me? And he said to him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. He said to him, Feed my sheep. By this Christ entrusted to Peter the whole flock, thus making him the head shepherd. The lambs, the weak and tender portion of the flock, are the faithful, and the sheep, those that nourish the lambs, are pastors, bishops, and priests. The sheep of Christ are those who submit to him, the good shepherd. St. John chapter 10, verse 14. Never did Christ say to any other apostle, Feed my whole flock. As the shepherd is responsible for the flock, he is given authority comparable to his responsibility. Christ also conferred on Peter special marks of distinction not conferred on the other apostles. He gave him a new name. He chose him as a companion on the most solemn occasions. After the resurrection, he appeared to Peter first, before showing himself to the other apostles. The Lord said, Simon, I have prayed for thee that thy faith may not fail, and do thou, when thou hast turned again, strengthen thy brethren. St. Luke chapter 22, verses 31 to 32. As with every well-regulated society, the church needed a visible head. Christ appointed St. Peter visible head of the church. The city has its mayor, the state its governor, the nation its president. At the head of every government is a president or king. Even in the family, the father is the head. Every corporation has a head. The church is a visible society. That is, it is composed of human beings. It needs a head as well as any other organization. Christ is always its invisible head, but it needs a visible head to take his place among men. Did Peter actually exercise his primacy? Yes, Peter actually exercised his primacy, and the other apostles and the disciples recognized him as the head of the church. Peter's name always stands first in the list of the apostles. Iscariot's is always last. St. Matthew even calls Peter the first apostle, but he was neither first in age nor in election, for our Lord had called Andrew his elder brother before him. He must therefore have been first in honor and authority. It was Peter that proposed the election of another to take the place of Judas. In obedience to Peter's advice, the apostles put forward two among the disciples to choose from, and after praying, they chose Matthias. It was Peter that preached the first sermon on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Ghost had descended on the apostles. They spoke so that each person present, and there were many nationalities in the crowd, heard his own language being spoken. The people were amazed, and Peter spoke. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, verses 14 through 36. It was Peter that admitted the first converts from Judaism, Acts chapter 2, verses 38 through 41, as well as from paganism, Acts 10, chapters 5. Or Acts chapter 10, verse 5. And he, Peter, ordered them, the Gentiles baptized in the name of Jesus, Acts 10, 48. This was a thing unheard of, that the Jews of the faith should consort with heathen, but Peter broke all bonds. Peter worked the first miracle. He gave a man lame from birth the power to walk, Acts 3, verses 6 through 8. Peter meted out the first punishment. Ananias, and later his wife Sapphira, had lied and cheated, and having been rebuked by Peter, fell down dead. Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. Peter cast out the heretic Simon Magus. This heretic had wanted to purchase the power of the apostles of bringing down the Holy Ghost on those on whom they laid hands. Acts chapter 8, verses 19 and 20. Peter made the first visitation of the churches. Acts 31, 32. In the first council at Jerusalem, there was much disputing, but when Peter spoke, all submitted. Acts chapter 15, verses 7 through 12. After a long debate, Peter got up and said, "But we believe that we are saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus." Then the whole meeting quieted down. Acts 15, verses 7 and 11 through 12. After his conversion, St. Paul presented himself to Peter, Galatians 1, verse 18. Of the early churches established by the apostles, the Church of Rome was the highest in rank. It was the See of Peter. Any questions, comments? I was quite surprised to find that some believe that we don't recognize the Pope or that we are against the Pope, and that is not the case at all. We actually pray for the papacy every day in the Crown Rosary. We simply do not recognize the man that is there as a legitimate Pope. We do not reject the Pope. We do not reject the papacy. We reject this man who is pretending to be the Pope or the head of the Church. Okay, so that is, I believe, a very important distinction that those who are following us need to understand. We are Roman Catholics. We submit to all the true and legitimate popes, but the false popes we must reject. I guess even as St. Paul would rebuke St. Peter to his face for his evil that he's done, we would rebuke this man if he were the Pope, but we simply do not even recognize him as the Pope. He is an anti-Pope or an invader, a false Pope, if you will. And so it is not that we reject the Pope. Well, we just say this man is not the Pope. Any questions, comments? This will be a short lesson tonight. Let's end with the act of resignation to the divine will. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. O Lord my God, I now at this moment readily and willingly accept at thy hand whatever kind of death it may please thee to send me, with all its pains, penalties, and sorrows. Benedictio de omnipotentis, Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti descendit super vos, et maniat semper. Amen.